Please be seated. And we're first right into it, and technology's not working for me. Pardon me. I may be doing a lot of that tonight, I think. Welcome to our Christmas Eve service, and we're real high tech tonight in so many ways. We've formatted our service to be very much like a Sunday morning service. And it's time for us to celebrate and remember and be a part of this Christmas Eve time as we gather as a congregation and a family. There is no printed bulletin. Everything's going to be up here, and I apologize if you're having difficulty with some of the things to see, but I'm sure we'll manage as we get through. And if I end up having to run up and down a couple of times, that's okay too. That's all part of Christmas Eve. And as I know, many of you know my past, I worked in computers, and when I was working in computers, I constantly said I hate them. I still do. Because when you need them, they don't work. At any rate, thank you, and thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to call on Beryl Gorey and Ann David to come forward for our responsive call to worship. I've messed up something, I think. You're on page two.
Oh, am I? Well, I'll start at one. Any better? I asked you which one to start.
Yeah, you did ask me before we started what order to do them in. There we go. Now we're set. Off with a bang. I like it. Grace
has dawned upon the world, beginning for all.
Lo, Vino Misti, let your hope shine in the night of the Passion of Sinmo.
Our God, let your light shine in the darkness.
Lord, in your mercy, let your peace shine for the families that wander across the land, water, and wilderness to find refuge from war and persecution.
Join together now in our first hymn, carols this evening, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and we'll do that seated. As we do on Sunday mornings, we come before God at this time to talk to God and thank God for all that we've been blessed with through our lives, and also to confess to God the times when we strayed away. And I very often from the pulpit here talk about the word sin, and we don't like to hear that word, that three-letter word, because, well, there's a lot of baggage attached to that. But the word in Hebrew means to simply miss the mark. It actually has to do with firing a bow and arrow. And when you fire the bow and the arrow goes off, it misses the target. And that's what an apt description in so many ways for us in our walk with God. Sin is missing the mark that God has set for us, the path that He has set for us, the times when we've strayed away from what He calls us to be as Christian people. Friends of grace, the grace of Christ educates us so that we can live sensible and ethical and godly lives. And on this eve of His birth, we confess that we do struggle to receive Him still in so many ways in that sin, in that stepping aside. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Glorious God, on this Christmas Eve, we sing beloved carols of Bethlehem, of shepherds and angels, of Mary and Joseph, and the infant Jesus, our Savior. Is there yet a new song that we can sing to You, a song to be learned from the heavens and the earth, or the roar of the sea and the exultation of the fields and the joy of the trees are already raised in a chorus of glad rejoicing, ready to welcome You? Even if no ear may hear Your coming, help us hear the music of creation. And then with the whole cosmos, we will sing of Your salvation to declare Your glory in a crescendo of praise and bless Your name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God of love incarnate, we confess that with the shepherds we are terrified often by Your glory. For in Your glory's light we see plainly all that is wrong in the world, how oppression still enslaves, how the garments of war still stained with blood, how those seeking refuge still find no place of safety. We also see in Your light, we see what is wrong in us, how we've missed that mark, how very often we passionately pursue the things of this world but forget to ponder the mystery of faith, how we do not very often, Lord, it seems, practice the peace that You intended in our relationships and in our community and even in our church. That's the nature of sin. And Lord, we ask that You will forgive us. Help us to not be afraid. Like those shepherds, we want to follow You and find You. And so it's in the Savior's name that we pray, and it's in His name that we pray the prayer that He taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There's good news. There's great joy in Jesus Christ. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Glory to God in heaven and on earth. Peace to all. We are forgiven. Amen. Our first reading is a responsive psalm, and a responsive reading will be up here on the screen, and it's Psalm 96, and Bob Dickison will be leading us. And then the follower readers, please just follow up afterwards.
People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy of the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors, and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Train us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds.
Thank you, Madeline. Good job. Bob, can I call on you to work the projector? This thing's clearly not working tonight. Just the down arrow there. You know what you're doing. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, and it is that traditional story that we read. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. all went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as had been told to them. This is the word of God. We're going to join now in our next hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. And on this Christmas Eve, Lord, may we be filled with the joy of the Christmas story, a story we hear very often and we're very familiar with, but a story that is filled with your love. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I've entitled this sermon a Classic Christmas, actually this whole service, more of a Classic Christmas, as we've tried to sort of model it more after what we would do on a regular Sunday morning. in so many ways, as opposed to some of the theatrics that I've done in the past, coming in from the back and yelling and wearing weird costumes. And I even wore my proper gown tonight, and we're all coordinated, the choir and I, with our white for Christmas, and it's white outside, I know. But I wanted to start off because I was talking with Marlene Ainsworth's family earlier, and one of the things that Marlene would tell her children and her grandchildren that they liked about coming to church was the bad jokes I told all the time. And so I got to start off, you know, those Christmas crackers that you get. Now, I'm going to tell you some of these, so you got to remember a couple of them so you can take them home with you and you can share them with your other family members. What does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in a chimney? Claustrophobia. You got to think about these things. What do they sing at a snowman's birthday party? Freeze a jolly good fellow. Yeah, I didn't say they were great. Why does Santa have three gardens so he can ho, ho, ho? What kind of motorbike does Santa ride? A Holly Davidson, of course. And lastly, did Rudolph go to school? No, he was elf-taught. I know. Remember one, you can take it home and make your family do the same thing that you just did now. Christmas is a time for joy and a time for fun, and that's why I do like telling these bad jokes and starting things off with a bit of a bang, so to speak. And as we look outside tonight, there's lots of snow coming down. Everybody wants that white Christmas. It seems to be the dream that we have. And when it comes with the sort of the volume that seems to be coming down tonight, and it's not just pretty. It's pretty if you're stuck at home looking out your front window, but if you're sitting here and there's a drive ahead of you, you're not sure what you're going to do. You want to make sure your car is going to start. You're not going to get stuck in the snow. And it just gets very panicky in that sense when you're out. The weather just makes it worse. I recall a story that I read about a person standing in a checkout line, and there was an older gentleman talking to a friend. And they were discussing the terrible weather that they were having, just like tonight on Christmas Eve. And the younger one remarked that this certainly had to be the worst Christmas weather he could remember. Well, you know, such a remark like that directed at an older gentleman is bound to elicit some kind of remark, and it did. Well, said the fella, I can remember a Christmas with weather even worse than this. When I was a boy, we had a Christmas even worse than this. The Christmas, the temperature was 18 degrees below zero, and there was 6 feet of snow, and he went on to describe a bitter, cold day, but one that he remembered fondly because it was filled with warmth and love that was shared among a family and friends as they joined together. And so this conversation that took place as I read that and thought about that got me thinking about a couple of things about tonight. First of all, the weather outside tonight is a bit frightful with the snow coming down. It's pretty. It's what we sometimes, my family, call sneaky snow because it's very small flakes and it keeps coming. And then eventually, it kind of, you look outside and there's this giant buildup of snow and it's pretty slippery sometimes. It may be frightful inside. Here, though, it's not frightful as it might be outside because we're all here and we're a lovely and delightful crowd, aren't we? Smile, everyone. Yeah, that's good. We can sort of take control of the weather. You know, we can sit in a nice warm church like this. We can sit in a nice warm house. We feel like we can kind of manage things. And I've told a story here from the pulpit of a church that a friend of mine preached at in Hamilton, where, and this is a true story. I know it doesn't sound like it, but it honestly is a true story. It's an older congregation in a small church. And in the beginning of the service, everybody sits on this side. And then when we get about halfway through, just before the sermon begins, everybody gets up starting at the back row in nice order, goes onto this side. And then the sermon begins. And a friend of mine that was telling me that story asked the people, because it seemed kind of odd that this was kind of happening, asked why that took place. Well, apparently, years and years before they had central heating in this particular church building, they had a Quebec heater in the middle of the floor over here. And so when people first arrived on a cold winter morning, that was the side to sit on because that was the heater was warming up. But by the middle of the service, it was getting too hot. So they would just one at a time slowly kind of move their way over to this side. And they had a Scottish Presbyterian minister at this church where everything must be done in good working order. And so we're not going to just drift. We're going to call a timeout just before the sermon and walk gently one row at a time. Now, they still do that at this church, even though the Quebec heater is a distant memory in anyone's mind, because they've got central heating, but it's part of what they do. And it makes them feel warm inside in so many ways, because we all like to do that. We all have the things that we do on Christmas that make us feel good. And we have our own little traditions that we carry on. Some of them, if someone else was looking in, would go, that's kind of odd that you do that, but it's special to you, and it means something to you. Secondly, we've often heard the phrase, Christmas is for children. And in many ways, that does seem true enough. We've got lots of children here tonight. We can hear them, and I love to hear the children. In many ways, it's, like I say, true enough that Christmas is for children. Most of our best memories of Christmas are those special Christmases when all of us were children. And for some of us, that was a while ago, and for some of us, it was a while ago. It's okay. We remember the beautiful gifts and the magnificent Christmas trees and the great goodies to eat and putting the tinsel on the tree. We were just talking about that today, my wife and I, and how at my house, when we did the tinsel on the tree, the kids kind of just did that. And when I met my wife, you don't do that. You take one at a time and you put them on and kind of look at it. And that was their tradition. And I liked that tradition, actually, because when we did this, my mother always went out and fixed it anyway after we were done, so it seemed kind of silly. But we remember those things, and they're fond memories for all of us. Many of us remember the parts that we had to memorize for the Sunday school pageant that took place every year. And these different things pop into our minds when we think about Christmas. Those special times live again anew each year when we redecorate and wrap again and prepare ourselves for the holiday seasons, just like tonight. The Christmas, this is important, the Christmas of today will be for some of us, especially those who are younger, and we can hear some of them, will be the glorious memory of Christmas tomorrow. These are the good old days for some people. Think about that. We often tell stories about, and I'm great for telling stories about back in the good old days. This is going to be good old days for some people. Tonight. What we're doing tonight will be a fond memory for some younger folks and many of us as we age too. The gathering of God's people in God's house on Christmas Eve is going to be a great memory one day. We'll hear someone remark 10 or 20 years from now, why, I remember a Christmas when it snowed all Christmas Eve. Few of us could get out, and we sat in the church, and we had a lovely time singing, and the minister had a hard time with the computer that night. It'll be a fond memory. And finally, the third idea that popped into my mind was this. Where must we all be today? It's really in our mind in Bethlehem, on another cold winter day, when Mary, God's chosen handmaid, gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in those cloths. We say swaddling cloths, and swaddling has become a term that new mothers are using nowadays to swaddle their children and hold them tight, and that's what Mary did. But she took cloths and she wrapped him up and put him in this feed bin manger. Let's listen again to some of that story. When the angels left the shepherds and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Christmas is truly Jesus' birthday. It doesn't matter that it took place on this night or some other night, which people argue all the time. Who cares? This is the night we've chosen to celebrate that birthday. And on Christmas, God touched the earth with his love. His forgiveness, His peace, His purity, and His holiness for all people. The color white that the choir and I are wearing tonight is certainly reflective of that purity of God, the holiness of God. This white snow, one of the reasons we like the white snow is it's built into this mindset is where it comes from. It's that sense of purity. The white candle that we light here on Christmas Eve is the purity of that child's face, the whiteness, if we like, of the angel's wings as they shared that good news of joy, the whiteness of the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, and the whiteness of the newborn baby's cloths wrapped around him, purity and holiness in Christ our Lord. Perhaps that man that I said about, that I read about, was right. Christmas kind of is for children, for it was as a child, that Jesus came and tells us that we must come with childlike faith to understand His love and then receive His blessings. And don't we all become children at Christmas in a way? Because we remember those childhood things that took place. Aren't we innocent and pure once more, looking forward and yet looking back at Christmases long ago and to the first Christmas long, long ago? In the spirit of God's love and the truth of Christmas, I'd like to close this with this Christmas poem, and it's just an unknown author, and it's called The Stable. In that little stable so long ago, there were no dazzling lights, there was nothing to distract one's thoughts from that precious, holy sight. High above, the brilliant star was shining down from heaven, and in the stillness of that moment, God's wondrous gift was given. Shepherds came from near and far, their hearts were filled with love, and watching o'er the little child were angels from above. Three wise men bearing gifts at last on him did gaze, and they looked in wonderment, their lips were uttering praise. So take a moment to recall how this season did begin. Make your heart quiet, stable, where the Lord may enter in. Amen. We'll join together now in our next Christmas song. Good Christians, all rejoice. Because God so loved the world, God sent the Son into the world. And in response to this good news of great joy, we offer songs of praise, tithes and offerings, and acts of service. We now prepare to present our tithes and offerings to God. Gracious God, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you, Lord, that people are willing to share a part of that blessing in this offering tonight. We ask that you will bless this offering and make it be used to your glory, Lord, to help those in need in our community and to keep the light shining brightly here in this congregation. We pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. Join now in our next Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And we ask that you stand if you're able for this one. Please be seated. Every Sunday morning when we gather, and we have a second opportunity gathering this evening, we come with prayers of the people. This is an opportunity for us to be praying for those in our lives and those in our world, to pray for others. It's not only an opportunity, it's a responsibility as Christian believers. Prayer is a mystical kind of thing that takes place. We're talking sort of in a one-sided conversation when we're talking to God, and yet God promises that he hears us, and God promises that he responds to that. And we've been seeing many things happening on Sunday mornings here as we've been coming and praying for people. This is a time for us to pray for the world, to pray for our community, to pray for our family and friends. Let's bow our heads. Glory to you, O God, for the good news of great joy that you give to all people. And we thank you for Jesus, who is the Messiah, who's lived among us and now reigns on high. Thank you for his light that shines in the darkness. With the angels, Lord, we sing praise to you, celebrating your glory to all the earth. And the Son is given to us in your promised salvation. We are gathered as a community of believers this evening on Christmas Eve. And so, Lord, we pray for your church in every place, because tonight, in this very hour, there are many other places doing exactly what we're doing, gathering to have a Christmas Eve service. It's interesting to see the amount of cars we're driving around tonight, and I'm sure lots of people are on the road to go and visit family, but I also think there's a lot of people heading off to church tonight. So, Lord, we pray for these churches. Many in our own community here, the Hamilton area, are struggling to keep their doors open. So we pray for you to strengthen them, Lord. Help us to bear Christ's light in the place of every place of need. Draw near to those who spend this night apart from community. People who are traveling and people who are far from home. People who live alone. Maybe someone who's waiting in a hospital room right now. Or one who sits in a prison cell. Or one who's working on a late shift this very night. Or someone who's estranged from family or friends. Lord, we pray that you will comfort those who are poor and vulnerable, and they are in our midst, and they are next door to us in so many ways. We pray for the child that's at risk, for the homeless on the streets, for the family that's hungry, for those contending with prejudice and scorn. Lord, I especially pray for those who've lost their faith, that you can restore that in them, who've lost hope, that you can renew that in them. And those, Lord, who just simply lost their way, be a light and guide them back on the right path. We pray, Lord, that you'll end hostilities and wars that we've constructed around this world and bring in peace by your design. Establish your reign of justice and righteousness, Lord, for you are the Lord of hosts who with zeal will do this, because we've asked and we've tugged on your ear, Lord, to get your attention in this prayer. We pray for those in every person's life right now today, Lord, who's struggling. And everyone in this room, as I say from Sunday to Sunday, every single person in this room tonight knows someone in their life who's in need, whether it's a spiritual need, an emotional need, a physical need, a healing of some kind. And Lord, in silence, we take a moment and we all offer that name to you in our hearts and minds. We know, Lord, that you hear and you answer and you act. And we pray all of these things through Christ, who is our Savior. Amen. I say this a lot on Sundays, I got to say, and you get tired maybe, but I love our choir. And Helena, thank you for helping out tonight. And there's so much work that goes into this, and it's a mighty sound that we have coming out of this choir. And I get the opportunity, as I say, to visit other churches, and we got a pretty good group going on here. And thank you very much. That was a blessing. Truly, it was. We're going now to do what we have done traditionally around here, and that's fine, Bob, go ahead. We're going to be handing out our candles for Christmas. Now, you know, it's difficult sometimes to get Presbyterians to pay attention. So I'm going to give you this instruction very tenderly as best I can, and I'm going to say it slowly. When you get your candle, do not light it yet, which means turning the little switch. I know you want to play with that button, but just resist the temptation, because it'll make the night very special, because what we're going to do is I'm going to light the first two here as we sing our song, and then you're going to light the one beside you for the person beside you, and we're going to do that all the way down through, and you'll figure out how to reach behind you and help the person with you. So as we sing Silent Night, we're going to see the lights sort of start to move all the way down at the end of the church. And when we're done that, I'll offer a blessing, and that'll be the end of our service. So when the lights are still down, and we've done Silent Night, we've all got our candles, we're going to quietly wish everybody a Merry Christmas and move out towards the back and head into our cars and drive safely home and maybe keep that candle on. I remember seeing that last year. It was so lovely to see all the cars pulling out of here with their lights still on, their little candles on, and it'll be lovely in the snow. So let me repeat that. Don't flip the switch until I tell you, okay? Now, Renata's going to play a piece of music while we distribute the candles, and then we'll get things started with our final hymn of Silent Night. Yeah, pass the basket around. That's good. I'll give Renata one. Here. There you go. Oh, this is going to come over here. Yeah, here. You're good. I need one. I guess I should take one too, eh? There you go. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, he said that Mary's child would have two names. The first name would be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that is what the name Jesus means, Jehovah saves. But then the angel of the Lord said that Jesus would have another name. The angel quoted Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we sang that song this morning. Emmanuel means God with us. So he is Jehovah saves, but he is also God with us. And so tonight, when we receive our candles and we sing our final Christmas carol, we're going to be filled with a bit of a feeling. At least I hope we will. Now, it's a good feeling, and I'm talking to as all of us as Presbyterians and Calvinists at heart, because you're not supposed to talk about feelings and have feelings. And you'll often hear me kid at times when I hear people laughing in church. Now, enough of that. We're Presbyterian. We don't laugh at church. But we can have feelings, and we do have feelings. And that feeling that we're going to be feeling and are feeling tonight, it's about that special name for this baby as we celebrate, Emmanuel. Because God truly is with us. Right here, right now, God is with us. And as we take these candles and we take this message out to the world, we're telling the world God is with all of us. This night is more than just presents and food and family and even the feelings. It's about God with all of us. So when we take these lights out, declare your feelings, Calvinists. It's okay. Take those lights into the world and tell everybody that God is with us, Emmanuel. Say it with me. Emmanuel, God is with us. One more time. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Make sure I get the right lights off here. I think we're good. Now I'm going to light the first candle here. Symbolically. And then I'm going to light yours. And then you'll light the light beside you. It's not going to stay on, is it? There you go. Light the person beside you and I'll light yours. And then you light the person beside you. And we'll sing Silent Night seated. I'll light yours. Hold them up so we can see them. You here because we're going to delay in the front row. Let's sing the first verse one more time, really quietly. Silent, really quiet. Holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round your virgin mother and child. One more time, no piano this time. Thank you. go out this night in joy and in hope with the song of the angels on your lips as you tell everyone, Emmanuel, God is with us. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to all. And now may the love of God, the light of Christ that you're carrying with you, and the joy of the Holy Spirit abide with you this holy night and forever. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Safe drive, everyone. And wish the people beside you a Merry Christmas as we exit tonight. Remember, take those candles with you. God bless. Sorry, Bob, I'm right behind you. Thanks for your help. Thank you for your help. It's just battery died, I think, is what happened. So, yeah. It worked fine when I tested it, but it just died. So. It does. Thanks for your help.